Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the TR90 Body Burn 30 support call. This call happens Monday through Friday at this time, which for me is 6:40 Pacific time, 7:40 Mountain time, 8:40 Central time, 9:40 Eastern time. Just thrilled to have you along with us. If you ever miss these calls, you can pick them up on an application called SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcasts by putting in Frank, F-R-A-N-K, Lomas, L-O-M-A-S, and TR90. And if you're listening to us in its podcast and you wish to catch us live, dial into 775. Oh, wait a second. I've got to make sure I'm giving you the right number. 712-775-8972, and when it prompts for that conference code, put in 910022 to join us live. Our panel of hosts do these calls in support of your Tier 90 efforts. And for those that do not know who I am, I'm Susan Mann out of Portland, Oregon, welcoming you to the call. I come to you with an education background, but a huge interest in health, nutrition, and exercise dating back a few decades. And when I was in high school, I had grandparents that had heart disease and adult onset diabetes, and I didn't want to travel down those two health challenges. So I've done many things over the years to help prevent that, including coming into the TR90 program about 14 years ago. Just really like this program. When they put the whole thing together to create a TR90 lifestyle, that made a huge difference for me. So because I was able to lose 20 body inches in about 6 months. Didn't lose an ounce, but lost inches. So when you're first starting out, it is your one lean meal a day, 2 shakes a day, 3 snacks a day, 30 grams of protein at least 3 of those meals. Taking your supplements 15 to 20 minutes before a meal is best, but if you're not able to do that, and I would say about 40% of the time I was not, take them with your meals. Your results may vary, but I found it worked fine just taking them with my meals. 7+ servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. Those fruits and vegetables will give you your macronutrients, your micronutrients, and fiber. Macronutrients are your proteins, your carbs, your sugars, your fats. Your micronutrients are your vitamins and minerals, which work in synergy with each other. And the fiber, well, that helps in two ways, one of which is with satiety or that feeling of fullness. The other way that fiber helps is for good digestive health. Guys need about 45 grams of fiber daily for that. And ladies, we need 32 grams of fiber daily for that good digestive health. And if you're getting all that fiber, well, you'll want to get up and get moving. 30 minutes of moderate to heavy exercise at least 5 days a week. You can definitely do more than that, but don't do less. And that it can be whatever exercise you desire it to be. It could be furious house cleaning, swimming, dancing, cross-country skiing, whatever gets you up, excited, and moving. And you can do it in a 30-minute chunk, 2 15-minute chunks, or 3 10-minute chunks. And as I said, you can definitely do more, but don't do less. And if you're doing all that moving, well, then you need to think about hydration. And your baseline for that starts at 1 ounce of water for every 2 pounds you weigh. So if, for instance, you weigh 100 pounds, you start out at 50 ounces of water, and you bump it up from there depending on how active you are, how humid it is outside, and how much you're perspiring, because you can lose up to a quart in an hour of body moisture if you're working out heavily. So it is really important to stay hydrated. And the last thing that I recommend is getting 7 to 9 hours of good quality sleep a night. That sets your brain up for, it clears out toxins, sets your brain up for making good decisions. It just does a whole series of system resets while you're sleeping. So it's really important to get that good quality sleep. So with that being said, our information today is coming out of a book called Brain Rules by John Medina. 12 Principles for Surviving, Thriving at Work, Home, and School. And we're still into stress and how it affects the brain and why being stressed out is probably not such a good thing. So, as I said, we're on about part 6 or part 7 of this. On the positive side of restoration of control, can return groups to productivity. One instance, a for-profit consented to be studied after agreeing to institute a control-based stress management program. At the end of 2 years, the unit had saved almost $150,000 in workers' comp costs alone. Cost of deploying the stress management program, about $6,000. And just 16 hours of the program reduced toxic blood pressure levels for employees diagnosed with hypertension. Control isn't the only factor in productivity. Employees on the assembly line doing the same tired thing day after day are certainly in control of the work processes. But the tedium can be a source of brain-numbing stress. What spices things up? Studies show that a certain amount of uncertainty can be good for productivity, especially for bright, motivated employees. What they need is a balance between controllability and uncontrollability. Slight feelings of uncertainty may cause them to deploy unique problem-solving strategies. The third characteristic, excuse me, if you are a manager, is none of your business. I am talking about the effects of family life on business life. There is no such thing as a firewall between personal issues and work productivity. That's because we can't have two brains. We can interchange depending on whether we're in our office or in our bedroom. Stress in the workplace affects family life, causing more stress in the family. More stress in the family causes more stress at work, which in turn gets brought home again. It's a deadly self-feeding spiral. The researchers call it family work conflict, so you may have the most wonderful feelings about autonomy at work, and you may have tremendous problem-solving opportunities with your colleagues, but if your home life is a wreck, you can still suffer with negative effects of stress. And so can your employer. Whether we look at school performance or job performance, we keep running into profound influence of the emotional stability of home. Is there anything we can do about something so fundamentally personal, given that its influence can be so terribly public? The answer, surprisingly, may be yes. Marriage intervention. Famed marriage counselor John Gottman, G-O-T-T-M-A-N, can predict the future of a relationship within 3 minutes of interacting with the couple. His ability to accurately forecast marital success or failure is close to 90%. His track record is confirmed by peer-reviewed publications. He may very well hold the future of American education and business sectors in his hands. How is he so successful? After years of careful observation, Gottman isolated specific marital behaviors, both positive and negative, that hold the most of the predictive power. But this research was ultimately unsatisfying, as a man like Gottman, akin to telling someone that they have a life-threatening illness, but not being able to cure them. And so the next step in his research was to try to harness some of that predictive knowledge and give a couple a better future. Gottman devised a marriage intervention strategy based on his decades of research. It focuses on improving the behaviors proven to predict marital success and eliminating the ones proven to predict failure. Even in its most modest forms, his intervention dropped divorce rates by nearly 50%. What do his interventions actually do? They drop both the frequency and severity of hostile interactions between husband and wife. This return to civility has many positive side effects besides marital reconstruction, especially if the couple has kids. The link is direct. These days, Gottman says he can predict the quality of a relationship not only by examining the stress responses of the parents, but also by taking a urine sample of their children. The last statement deserves some unpacking. Gottman's marriage research invariably puts him in touch with couples who were starting families. When these marriages started their transition to parenthood, Gottman noticed that the couple's hostility interaction skyrocketed. There were so many causes, ranging from chronic sleep deprivation to increased demands of a helpless new family member. Little ones typically require an adult to satisfy some demand of theirs about three times a minute. By the time the baby was a year old, marital satisfaction had plummeted 70%. At that same point, the risk for marital depression went from 25% to a whopping 62%. The couple's risk for divorce increased, which meant American babies often were born in a turbulent emotional world. That single observation gave Gottman and fellow researcher Allison Shapiro an idea. What if he deployed his proven marital intervention strategies to married couples while the wife was pregnant, before the hostility floodgates opened up, before the depression rates went through the roof? Statistically, he already knew that marriage would significantly improve. The big question concerned the kids. What would an emotionally stabilized environment do to a baby's developing nervous system? He decided to find out. The research investigation deployed over several years was called Bringing Baby Home. It consisted of exposing expectant parents to the marital interventions, whether their marriages were in trouble or not, then assessing the development of the child. Gottman and Shapiro uncovered a goldmine of information. They found that the babies raised in the intervention households didn't look anything like the babies raised in the controls. Their nervous systems didn't develop the same way. Their behaviors weren't in the same emotional universe. Children in the intervention groups didn't cry as much. They had stronger attention-shifting behaviors. They responded to external stressors in remarkably stable ways. Physiologically, the intervention babies showed all of the cardinal signs of healthy emotional regulation, while the controls showed all of the signs of unhealthy, disorganized nervous systems. The differences were remarkable and revealed something helpful and filled with common sense. By stabilizing the parents, Gottman and Shapiro were able to change not only the marriage, they were also able to change the child. I think Gottman's findings can change the world, starting with report cards and performance evaluations. Ideas? Well, what do people in their private life do is their own business, of course. Unfortunately, what people do in their private life often affects the public. Consider the criminal history of a fellow who recently moved from Texas to a city in the Pacific Northwest. He absolutely hated his home and decided to leave. Stealing the car of a neighbor for the second time that month, he drove several miles to the airport, ditched the car, then he found a way to fool both the security officials and the gate managers and hopped a free ride back to Texas. He accomplished his feat a few months shy of his 10th birthday. Not surprisingly, this boy comes from a troubled home. This is a fairly recent event, but if something isn't done soon, the private issue of raising this child soon will become a very public problem, and he is hardly alone. How could we capture our brain rule that stressed brains learn differently than non-stressed brains, and change the way we educate parents and do business? I thought about this a lot, about this. Teach parents first. So we will be jumping into Teach Parents First on on Wednesday. We'll have Frank up tomorrow at the top of the hour. If you scoot over to Facebook, One Team Global Live, one of our leaders will be sharing some information about Nu Skin and what's going on in the Nu Skin world. I know that there's some price changes and some other things that are up and coming, including a success trip to Paris that's up and coming. I welcome any thoughts or comments as soon as I get us off of mute. And if you're one of my quiet people and would prefer to send me a text, you can do that to 503-502-4863. But I welcome the vocal ones as well, both positive and negative, or any questions you may have, just because I want to make sure I help as many people as possible. If you let me know you're part of the TR90 group when you text me, then that way I will make sure it does not end up permanently in the spam folder. So there we have it, my friends. Stress brains can learn, but it's easier to change them before they get stressed out. And if there's no other thoughts or comments, I'm going to go ahead and release this. Go out and make it a great day. And we'll have you back here tomorrow for Frank.